You're listening to Comedy Central.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
My guest tonight is the nation's first Somali-American state legislator. Please welcome Minnesota State Representative Ilhan Omar. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. But before we get started, I wanted to take a selfie.
Oh, well, let's do this. Let's do this.
Everyone wants to make sure I do that.
This is the millennial generation. You got it. Welcome. Thank you very much. Your story is one of the most fascinating I have ever come across. To be in the position you're in is one that is already unique, but your story is even more unique. You are someone who is all too familiar with being a refugee. You're from Somalia. You're also a Muslim person. You're also a woman. You are everything that President Trump seems to be against, and you are in government.
Yeah.
What's the plan?
I am America's hope and the president's nightmare.
If you don't mind taking a step back, I'm sure people ask you about this a lot, though, but coming from a world where, you had to leave Somalia as a young child, you got a chance to travel through to the United States. How hard was it to get into America, seeing as the conversation always seems to be, it's too easy to get in, we need to have extreme vetting. What was your vetting process like?
Yeah, I mean, when the war happened, I was 8, we came to the refugee camp and waited 4 years for that process to take place for us to relocate here to the U.S.
Right.
Our vetting process, from what I remember at the age of 12, is that it included my family filling out applications, having multiple interview process,
right.
Taking a lot of like medical tests to see if we were healthy enough to be relocated to the United States. And it took, you know, nearly four years for that process to be completed. And then once we came to the U.S., it took very long time for us to become legal and to be able to become citizens and to be seen as people who had a right to be here.
You obviously cannot predict another world or a different timeline or a different future you may have had, but were you not able to get into the United States? What do you think your family's life would have been if you were stuck in Somalia when you would have been?
I mean, I got a glimpse of that. I went back in 2011. There was a huge famine that was happening in Somalia. And there's a big refugee camp called Dadaab. Not the one that I was in, but another one.
Right.
And I went back to help aid the people that were struggling. And I remember meeting a young woman that was a friend of mine that I was in the refugee camp with. When my family relocated here and the camp closed,
wow.
Her family went to another camp and she couldn't get here. And I remember meeting her and her saying to me, you have to enjoy and be proud and understand the privileges that you have, because I have not been able to get an education. I was, I had to deliver my children here, and their life is not going to be much different than the life that I had. And so I came back sort of having the survivor's guilt in, right. in realizing that I had to do more. I had to give voice to those that we left behind. And I had to fight for a better life here in the U.S. for those that made it here.
When you take criticism from people who make the assertion saying, you are not an American, you are trying to bring to America something that is not of America, you're bringing different cultures, you're trying to bring in a different religion, why are you in a position of power now? How do you respond to that criticism?
I mean, I think that people forget that that's kind of what the Native Americans, the indigenous people of this land, felt like when most of the people that don't want me in this country were coming to this country and feeling, you know, proud enough to make America their country.
Right.
And so, you know, we say this is a land of immigrants and we forget that this was a land that belonged to people.
Right.
And those of us who are new immigrants and those of us who come from generations of immigrants have to realize that we're not that much different from one another. This country gave us hope. This country allowed for us to develop our own identity and to create our own home. And we shouldn't look down on the next person that's trying to do that. That's not what I'm talking
about. The story that shocked me, I guess the stat that did was that Minnesota has the largest Somali community outside of Somalia. And in the race that you ran, I think it was in the primaries, you had to go up against someone who was a 44-year incumbent and a Somali man, which was very difficult because a lot of people in the Somali community look at the man as the leader. A woman has her place. This is something that's common in Africa. Many people have experienced it. When overcoming that challenge, what tool did you use to communicate with people? How did you get people to see you as somebody who could be in a leadership position?
Yeah, I mean, oftentimes people would say, you know, you should let your brother have it. And I would say, I think I could do a better job than my brother. Maybe you should let me have it. And I think, you know, there's a lot of focus when one runs for office on their identity, whether it is their gender identity, whether it is their race or a religion. For me, it was really important to have conversations with people so that we can suspend these particular identities that were unique to me and unique to a lot of other people, and focus on the common issues that were pervasive in our area and figure out solutions together so that people can hear what I had to offer and the platform that I had and what I could deliver for them.
When you look at Minnesota now and you look at the issues that face it, every area is unique. You're now in a position where you obviously don't just represent who people may think you represent, but rather everyone that you represent, which is me saying represent a lot. But you're now in a position to change many people's lives. What do you think some of the greatest challenges lie ahead of you as a representative?
You say you are saying representative a lot.
I am. I think it's because they were like, remember to say representative.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll say representative. I'm sponsored by the representative company. Representative.
Perfect. No, I think a lot of the challenges that I have as a freshman representative.
It's contagious. But carry on.
Is that we're in the minority, and as a minority in the minority, there is a lot of challenges in getting some things done.
Right.
But what I know as someone who has overcome a lot of obstacles and have always worked with people that are not often people that you would assume would be my allies. I have particular training making sure that things can get done. And so I've been able to have a very successful first session in working with people across the aisle and found myself, you know, really at the table in leadership circles, in committees, you know, forming the solution for our state and tackling a lot of the challenges that we have in having a budget that takes care of all of Minnesota and leads to a prosperous and equitable Minnesota.
If you were to have the opportunity to speak to or work with President Trump, A, would you, and B, what would you say or try to do?
Actually, I invited President Trump twice now to come and meet my family and my community because he seems to have a lot of opinions about the kind of people that we are.
Right.
And we shouldn't judge a book by its cover. We should at least give people the opportunity to get to know them. And so my grandfather and father always said that you should invite your enemy to your home and make them a friend. And so I wanted to give the president an opportunity to make amends with our community and at least to come and have our famous Somali tea. You know, that's the least he can do. He represents us now as well.
All right, there it is. President Trump, have some Somali tea.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and the Comedy Central app. Watch full episodes and videos at thedailyshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for exclusive content and more.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.